now beaming into Nerd FT Radio.
This is Nerd FT Radio, where nerds full-time, explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSG, aka the new Tesla owner. And I'm here with Crypto Crier, aka Moscow Crier. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Drinking a little mule. You drinking a little mule? Yeah, I'm buying a little red cheeks going on. And then on my end, dude, I bought a freaking Tesla. As you may know. I still drive one, but that was a lease. And with, hey, those price cuts and that tax incentive, the $7,500 incentive, I had to do it. Like, it just made sense.
What color did you get?
Oh, of course we go red. The interior white. The basic wheels, not the performance wheels or the upgraded ones, but those two. And I'm locked and loaded. I'm probably going to be getting it at the beginning or middle of March. Because that's when my lease ends. But if I didn't have the lease ending, they wanted to deliver it on my birthday, which is on the 24th. Like, they want, we got the car ready for you. I'm like, oh crap. Like, it usually takes, like, for my girlfriend, Carolina, took her like 4 months to wait. And they're like, oh yeah, we have it in 2 weeks for you. I'm like, oh, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, awesome, cool stuff on that side, as well as I actually got a brand new phone too, Crier. We're starting the new year. new year, new toys is what's happening.
You see the bull market? You're ready to spend some cash, spending money
all over the place. But we got some great topics to discuss today. Let's go ahead and jump into the first one. And this is actually one that you brought to my attention. I had no idea this was a thing, and I need you to somewhat explain it to me as well. So, to my understanding, let me try to talk about it. Then you're going to be like, yeah, you're wrong. But the International Chess Federation is coming into Web3, and it's going to be using Avalanche to go ahead and do this. So when you just show me the title, you show me the article, and I, without me clicking it and thinking what the heck is about to happen, I don't know what's about to happen. So please tell me why are they coming on the blockchain?
So I think it's just a cool move on their part. So it says International Chess Federation is FIDE. They announced that they pretty much are trying to onboard more roughly about 100 million people that play online chess regularly and compete over 25 million virtual chess matches every day. So it's a large player group, very active community. The incentive here is to make operational efficiencies for players improve and then improve game integrity. So they're looking to put chain the actual rankings of players online, the actual scores for everyone matches played, and they also want to do a prize pools hosted through AVAX. Pretty cool stuff. There was also them and Core, which is like a self-custody wallet. So they're also going to be sponsoring tournaments around the world, including the World Chess Tournament and Shrimp Chess Olympiad. But overall, I just think it's a really cool thing because we don't really talk about classic games being integrated into why do we need them on blockchain? What's the purpose? Again, it's never like, it has to be on blockchain. But the kind of the move is it increases integrity, increases it just that frictionless, makes it more seamless when you're exchanging money between people. Now, if someone plays online, they can get their winnings quickly, not find their bank and all this crap and get half of it stolen from fees and shit. So again, I think it's a cool feature, and I think it's an interesting category of people to pick up, too. Like, I see a lot of chess players are very math-driven. If they're not already in this system, it could be a big eye-opener for people that are just experiencing it for the first time from something they love playing chess, and they've experienced it in a new way. That's not really, it's all about money and investing. It's just, it could be literally just keeping some of the integrity of the game in check and allowing players to exchange things quickly, and it's just a lot of moving parts, and I think it's just a cool way to showcase the skills of AVAX. They've been doing really well.
No, I definitely agree. And the other thing, one of the things that you mentioned, again, it's a old school game. It's something old, and there's always those people saying, hey, I'd rather stay on the things I know, the things I care for, the things I love. And this new technology, this blockchain, is going to take away from that because we're going digital. We're going on the blockchain, all these things. But for those old things, we're not saying they're just going to completely die. They just need to adapt into what's happening, adapt onto, let's say, a blockchain, adapt onto just literally going online. Remember, chess was played without the internet at one point, and now people, I would assume hundreds of millions of people, literally, or millions of people play chess online through games, through online tournaments, all these things. So when you now add the aspect, like you said, of the blockchain, to get money easier, accountability, the data behind it, storing it, eligible, like, all these things that can just make it better and, again, seamlessly for these individuals. It just makes a lot more sense to go ahead and do it. And when we talk about the blockchain and we talk about NFTs and we talk about all these things, remember, the way mass adoption will happen into the space is not by telling people like, hey, NFTs, crypto, and all this. It's those companies, those massive companies, the internet, like everything you can think of, just integrating and using the technology, which is the blockchain, to be better and be more effective, more efficient, the whole nine. So again, it's a super cool thing to look into. And like you said as well, they're the people that play chess typically are math driven. They're typically on the tech side or the nerd side like you and I. So when they start learning a little bit more about AVAX, they start there. That's just the start of it, the peak.
Exactly.
And the peak of a large mountain. Oh, but again, that will then bring them over to NFTs, bring them over to crypto, bring them over to Coinbase, bring them over to whatever the case may be. And that's where you fall into that rabbit hole, and the technology pretty much showcases itself for what it can bring. So it's definitely something pretty cool to see.
And especially it's coming off the heels of Avalanche. Like recently they partnered with Amazon through web services. You know, the Avalanche just in general has been having like a really good week in terms of just like partnerships and showing stuff to be built on their network. And again, like if they have their own, say Chess Federation has their own chain to have store all this stuff, that's one of AVAX's specialties. That's what they did with DFK. They have their own chain. It's like a sub-chain, subnet. The actual throughput of those is really high. The security isn't the utmost max because again, it's just storing pieces of data. So there's a lot of cool features with something like this. And again, like it showcases how the interoperability of chains and the way that they mesh together with the subnets is really cool for AVAX. So again, I think it's really cool. Nothing breaking news or anything crazy, but again, it's just one of the other things where it's like a step in the right direction, something, another cool platform is integrating.
I actually, when I said hundreds of millions of people play chess ever like online regularly, I actually, it's actually a hundred. It's over 100 million people play chess regularly. And 25 million virtual games. Chess matches happening every single day.
Yeah, I said that.
I didn't think that was a real thing. Good Lord. Yeah, and that's pretty big. But the other thing that this actually, I didn't know this either. There's a chess legend. His name is Gary. I can't say his last name. K-A-S-P-A-R-O-V. Kasparov. Gary Kasparov. Kasparov launched his first NFT earlier this month. And there's actually a play-to-earn chess game that's called Meta Chess that you're actually – it's very popular in the last year. So, again, just seeing little things like this, it goes into these small – I was about to say small niche groups, but 100 million people playing this, that's not small. That's massive. So when you go into a group like that and you can showcase the technology, you can showcase the simplicity or even the difficulty right now, and then later on, hopefully, simplicity, the whole nine –
it doesn't have to be completely reworked. It doesn't. The whole point of this stuff is to not change the underlying thing. Like, you're not changing the game of chess. We're not doing anything special. We're just changing the way that the data is stored comparatively to a server that can go down and have your rankings go down or have some, just there's a lot. It's a fail safe, right? So when there's a lot of money on the line, which there are, chess, these are not, these winnings are very high. There's millions of dollars online. Again, it's something to just have redundancies. It's good to have a way to check these things publicly. Anyone can go check where the funds have been. And there's a lot of power plays with just blockchain in general. So again, I think it lends itself really well to something that's such a classic game.
No, I definitely agree. Have you seen this game? There's actually been people on Twitch, if I'm not mistaken, streaming a chess game. And when you kill one of the pieces, you defeat one of them, you actually go into battle royale against one another. And if you lose or win, then it actually takes away the piece. Like, it's pretty funny. And this guy was having like a blast. He's like jumping around, throwing like spears, and he's like, I got this. But I just wanted to mention that's more on the nerd side here. But again, when you did say we're not trying to recreate chess, guess what? I am. I need more spear throwing action, and maybe the game.
The strategy of it is not enough. I need the visuals.
Yeah, I need the visuals with like spear. But here's the kicker: the person that just lost a piece. They have a chance to win, and maybe, I don't know, if you play some defense or something. But besides the point, I was kidding. Keep playing your chess the way you're supposed to be playing chess, because it probably is better on just streaming it and make fun of it and whatnot. But other than that, anything other on the topic that you want to discuss, Crier?
Nothing specific on that one. No, I just thought it was cool.
Awesome, awesome. Once again, this typically happens every episode because everyone's obviously coming into the Web3, right? And all these companies are doing almost the same exact thing. We're just hoping to see which one is going to be the successful one, the big one. Exactly. And the thing that went ahead and just happened was a Web3 studio called Sortium?
Yeah, Sortium.
Sortium has raised $7.8 million in a seed round. Now, what the heck is Sortium? If you guys remember, way back in the when we had double digit episodes on Nerd FT Radio, we mentioned Hayden's. Hayden's? Yeah, it was Hayden.
Something like that.
It was Hayden that was partnering up with Epic Games to pretty much bring all the Epic Games games that we know, like Fortnite, Fall Guys, all this, and have the ability and the capability to go ahead and bring it to the blockchain if that's what they wanted to go ahead and
create
do.
NFTs, create some sort of tokenization, do something along those lines.
Exactly.
And it was the other one with PUBG, and then Banger came out.
We had PUBG. We had them coming in saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and partner with these guys. The same exact Banger. Thing, maybe bringing... But yeah, I know the best name of the three, by the way. Banger wants to go ahead and bring PUBG... bring PUBG over to the blockchain as well. Now we're seeing another company like all these going ahead and doing that as well. Sortium is that company that wants to bring games that all we already know
already exist. Warzone, and tokenize their structures pretty much.
Exactly. And when you think about that, it's not as simple as just like a flick of it's good to go. Yeah. You literally have to do a lot of infrastructure
work for sure. To keep those moving pieces going, making sure that the economy doesn't get upended because of these issues. There's a lot of moving pieces, especially in like large RPG MMO types games that have these things. So another one I saw, there was another one that I saw that was really cool. They hired the guy from Eve Online. Did you see that one?
I remember vaguely what you're talking about, but I do not like off the top of my head.
Cool. Let's see. Let me look it up in a second. We'll come back to it. But there was Eve Online is a game that we've talked about before. It's like one of the most well-known like economic games. Like it's the whole aspect of it is only trading, very high economic strategy and stuff like that. But the person that created the economic structure recently left to join an NFT company, which I thought was super interesting.
No, I 100% agree. The one thing I did want to mention about the Sortium, by the way, just before I lose my train of thought here, is they're preparing to go ahead and launch their first play to earn game as well. It's going to be called Cosmo. Is it Cosmo Gene?
Yeah.
Cosmo Gene. And it's pretty much going to allow players to create unique virtual genetic experiences generated from an AI-backed synthetic DNA. Yeah, my smooth brain can't understand what's about to happen. The game learns and adapts to the player, which in turn grows the environment. So this company's wild, actually.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty insane what they're doing there. They actually have roughly 50 employees that include blockchain engineers, AI engineers, and a full game studio that can, again, launch its own games. But also one of the things that they want to go ahead is help other people launch their game as well. If it's a new one, if it's an old one, that is the main focus here. Again, a lot of these companies, if you think about, let's say, Microsoft, or let's think about Epic Games, or all these other games that we all play, like, they, at one point, they're going to want to come to the blockchain, or at least test something out. And these are the type of companies that they're going to go ahead and help them get there. And we've already, like, again, we've already seen it with multiple other people. And this is probably, we're going to probably talk about this for the next 2-3 years on this podcast, just fair warning. And a lot more of these companies are going to come out.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot more of these massive companies that we know of are going to partner up with these that we mention, and maybe even buy some of these
companies
to go ahead and integrate all their things that they have onto the blockchain.
Yeah, looking at like Blizzard or Bethesda, all these very large game studios with a backlog of tons and tons of games that could be tokenized and improved very easily in terms of, not easily, but just need or would be benefit from the tokenization of these platforms to not only bring in revenue, but allow players to own their own stuff. I think those are definitely in the play where these companies can be purchased. We'll see some acquisitions in the next coming years for these companies for sure.
No, I definitely agree. And again, that's when you know things are about to pop. Once more, like once Web3 companies start getting acquired by the Amazons, the Microsoft, the Apple, the whatever, that's when we're like, oh boy, here we go. This is where it gets a little bit interesting. We already saw it with Artifact and Nike. I feel like we are going to see it a lot more as well. Right now, it's just partnerships like the Amazon one, like the Google one, like all these that we talk about all the time. But once that word acquisition comes into play, that's where, that's now level two. We were just on level one. Now we're going to level two, and then level three
is when they're they're acquiring other old companies.
Exactly. When the big boys, the new boys are acquiring the old companies. Yeah, the new big boys are
the dinosaurs.
These dinosaurs and converting them and reviving them into something. What's happening with Chester? I'm kidding. besides the point, Avalanche, thank you. But one other thing I did want to go ahead and talk about today on this episode, and we did also talk about this a few weeks back with what you've been doing with ChatGPT on the side of contracts. So one other AI that I've been playing around with, as well as you've been trying to test out, has been Midjourney. And Midjourney, Crier, I underestimated AI.
It's just so fun. Like, it's just such a cool experience. I've been doing it with both my kids, and they absolutely love it. Like, it's just so interesting.
It is wild, man. On the side of, obviously, like, what I do, what have I done in the last few days with Midjourney? I've put in my cool cat. I've put in pictures of myself, and I've been going ahead and making cartoon versions, One Piece versions, Marvel versions, doing all these cool stuff, then posting it on Twitter, and that's it. But have you ever just sat back in Midjourney and watched all the other people?
Yeah, the other people making cool ass shit. Yeah. Impressive, way more impressive than what you made.
Impressive.
You're just like the kindergartner version of using Midsummer's, and then there's the art. There's definitely it's just another tool. Like, it's Burnt Toast said it recently. This is another tool that artists will be able to be used. People that will be good with AI, people will be bad with AI. Like, it's not just like in practice makes perfect. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, it's not, it makes it maybe it look, the image looks easy, or, oh, I just typed it in, it came out. But realistically, you didn't optimize it. You didn't train a model to actually execute it the way you want it to execute. It's still just a loose and wild AI creating what you might think it might want to create. But realistically, there's a whole other realm of people that I've been doing this for a very long time. And there's one that I follow that's really big. It's Fireman AI, I believe. It's like his, I think it's that. He's like selling a ton of artwork on like a lot of like one of one collection NFT platforms now. He's on So Rare, he's on Foundation, all these other ones. But I've been seeing his auctions like pick up big time. And he's an AI artist. Like, the stuff he creates is still incredible. It still takes vision. It still takes talent to bring the whole picture together. It's not like it's just, oh, a button printed this thing out. No, he had to train the models how to create these things to bring it the way he wanted to do it. I guarantee you won't be able to create the ones that, you know, he's making, right? Like, the average person's not gonna be able to do it either. There is a skill to these things, and either whether or not people think it's dumb or has no soul or whatever, it's just nonsense. It's a tool to be used to create artwork, just like any other tool that was invented to create artwork.
I definitely agree. And on the other side, again, not just artwork, but other things as well. Again, on the side of ChatGPT, as using the example of my girlfriend, Carolina, being a second grade teacher, and it, you know how teachers work, they work all day long. And one of those things that takes a time for them is their lesson plans. Every single day or every other week, you have to make a lesson plan for the day, for the week, for the month, for the quarter, for the year, whatever. I literally got into ChatGPT. I gave the phone to her and I told her, ask the AI to make you a lesson plan about whatever you're about to do. Yeah. And this something that would take her 20 to 30, 45 minutes to go ahead and create took the AI 45.346 seconds to go ahead and do. Now imagine on the side of a week's worth of this lesson plan.
5 hours of doing stuff. You still know these things. You still have to teach the be able to teach it, execute it, but this saves you the busy work aspect of writing these things down. These are the things that go with this. If you don't like it, regenerate it. Regenerate it. Oh, that's that point wasn't great.
Figure it out.
Make it a little bit shorter. Do a little thing. It's just such a powerful tool, and it can be used for anything. It's not just language model, artistic models. There's mathematic models. There's coding models. There's everything. So
it's ridiculous. Definitely ridiculous. The other thing I did see when we were talking a little bit about a Midjourney was I was just sitting there watching what other people were doing, and one of the other things that people were doing was creating website templates.
Yeah.
Allowing their imagination flow. Like, again, listen, I'm not as creative as an artist that you go over there and spend $1,000 on artwork. I'm not as creative as some of these, all of these PFP artists that are doing NFT project and all this. Yeah. I am literally the bottom of the barrel, but I still have an imagination. We still have a brain here. And growing up, as you can tell from my room, love sci-fi, love superheroes, love these shows, Star Wars, all this, and the imagination still flows. And for me to be able to go into this AI and just create, again, I literally put a picture of myself. I put, I want neon lights, 4K, One Piece themed with Gengar involved. And this thing is generating.
Rips it out.
Literally rips it from my head and just puts it in front of me. And it's right there. We had a family dinner as a birthday, Carolina, my girlfriend's mom's birthday, and her brother's roommate was there celebrating with us. And we're talking about it. And I had, listen, have a picture in your head. Just start spewing what you think. So he said like a wind turbine on a hill with something jumping out of the water. There's an ocean behind it, birds on the top. You're going to be able to see the gust of wind. And we just clicked it 4K, high realistic and high detail. And we clicked it. This man's no freaking way. Like he pictured this idea and it literally was there. Not only one idea, it gives you four options. Then you can be like, I like this one. Make more of that specific one or re-roll, do something else. I didn't like that. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And on the side of websites as well, crazy. Think on the teacher side, the website side, the answering
pretty much
emails,
everything
you can think of. For the
I was in where'd we go last? Art Basel, right? Miami. Art Basel, yeah, Miami. We're down in Miami, went to one of these NFT events, and it was more like the traditional art scene, more of that stuff, like one of one artists, stuff like that.
Okay.
This guy had just set up a booth and had like a screen, and it was just a microphone. He's just like talking to it. And
I remember
literally what it was just creating the artwork, right? And it was just right in front of you. He's just, this will create your arc. And it's just, I was like, oh, I'll just picture a kid riding his bicycle down a road with oak trees in the side. And then bam, that's what it is. And like to the average person, it's just, it's so mind blowing to see something like so easily replicated or so easily created.
You would have to spend hundreds, still, not thousands of dollars. You know. But imagine, by the way, if you do that to Midjourney, the thing's going to look phenomenal if you just went ahead and did that. But
because Midjourney is already like, like that he was using just a basic
one, exactly,
model.
If you have a ChatGPT, the image one, it's DALL-E, DALL-E, and if you go there, it's so bad compared to Midjourney, it's ridiculously bad. But again, you're able to go on that side of it and then just turn things that you could have never imagined, or you could imagine, but you had to go get an artist to pay them $500 to $1,000. It would take 2 weeks and then it would get shipped or sent in an email or whatever. Like, it's a whole process. Now, of course, there is that side of the null soul thing that we just talked about. Understood. I get it. Great thought process behind that. But again, on the side of tools, imagine an artist has this idea. He can't just get his, like, he can't get it to where he wants it to. He uses AI to give him examples of what this could be in this style and this. And then that allows that artist to go ahead and do its own artwork based off of that AI. That's just a tool on the tool belt, like Batman has a tool belt. It's literally a tool right there to allow these artists, these teachers, me as a recruiter, Cryer, you as someone creating content, Nate be wanting to become a tractor driver, like all these things. Like anything, you can just think about it. You can think about it, you figure it out, use those tools, check it out. I know I've been messing around with Midjourney. I've been posting. I've been on Twitter and the NRN Discord. More than happy to help anyone out that wants to check it out. I literally spent the $10 monthly for this month to just like literally be able to use this thing as much as possible and just go ham and create stuff. And one of the things I actually want to try to go ahead and do, as you guys know now, I've been like streaming a little bit with Marvel Snap and all these things on Twitch. Let me see what I can do on the Twitch side of things. Maybe this is going to allow me to do like templates and overlays. What you did for me prior with that overlay. Imagine the "we'll be back soon" or the transitions. I can maybe go into Midjourney with my cool
customize cat, it with your cat,
customize some things and make really cool stuff for the stream. You literally would have to go to Fiverr and spend $500 for an individual that's been doing it this whole entire thing forever, and now you're able to
probably wait a couple weeks too.
It's ridiculous, and it's super cool just to go ahead and see. And again, I would highly suggest just going in there. You get 25 free attempts when you go into Midjourney. By the way, Midjourney is a Discord where there's a bot, an AI bot inside the Discord. You go ahead and command imagine, and then you start writing out some stuff. And for the people that want to maybe grab your NFT or a picture of yourself, your friends, family, whatever, you would want, number one, just to give you the steps, you would have to go ahead and post a picture in the chat. Click it, click open URL, copy the URL, and then go ahead and do the command imagine, and then put the URL, and then start putting anime, neon lights, a hill, city lights in the background, Cryer jumping like a seal. It is what it is. That's you just got to put it together. But it's really cool. And for the people, you know what I should do, Cryer? I should just go ahead and put like the best baseball player, like Mike Trout, in a Red Sox jersey. So I'm just happy. And then I can just watch the Red Sox lose for the rest of the year. But at least I have a really cool AI Mike Trout on the Red Sox. Man, I wish.
Bam. That's pretty much it, right?
That pretty much wraps it up on that side. Other than that, on the nerd side, nothing too crazy right now. We already talked about Bad Batch. I have yet to watch the last episode 3. We're very close to The Last of Us on HBO coming out. I think it's, if not today, it might be tomorrow or the following day. So look out for that show. And again, on the movie
HBO's
side,
usually
just,
Sunday, so I'm probably it's probably
is it Sunday, so it actually might be tonight or for the night before, since you guys are all listening to it on Monday the 16th. And the other thing I did want to mention, I'm pretty sure we're exactly a month, if not a month and 2 days or 3 or 4 days away from Ant-Man 3. It is tonight. That's awesome. Be on the lookout for Ant-Man tickets going live in the next week or so if you are looking to go ahead on opening night on that Thursday. So just be on the lookout there. Obviously, Marvel movies have been selling out like crazy in the first hour at you, obviously, if you go like to an IMAX theater or Adobe one, whatever it is. So just be on the lookout.
If you live near me, you just walk into any of them. Every time.
Well, not all of us listening can just go over to Cryer's house and neighborhood and go watch a movie. But for the rest of us, be on the lookout. Make sure you watch this movie. That trailer that went premiered. I think it was a third one. The one third that trailer. Premiered in the national championship game. Dude, Kang. They showed, number one, they showed MODOK for the first time. You know who MODOK is, Cryer? This is, by the way, this is not a, this is not a spoiler because it's already been said. You know what? Spoiler alert. If you do not want to know who MODOK is, even though they've said it multiple times who it is, turn off the podcast. We'll check you guys later this week. Cryer, Yellow Jacket.
I don't want to know. Oh, nice.
This man goes, I don't want to know the, come on. I was going to tell you. All right. Turn it off. But awesome stuff on that side. For the rest of you guys, like I said, have a good day. Have a good rest of your week. Keep building with those bricks. Peace.
Peace.